I'd like to welcome up Michelle McCormick to the. It's that nervous moment. I got a new watch this week, and it tells me when I'm stressed. I was on the radio this week, and it was telling me while I was talking I was stressed. And it's not a great time to be telling you to calm down and have a moment. So it's all right. We can just all relax. I mean, what can possibly go wrong? You're right. You're good. You good there, Michelle? Larry, you're joining.
Larry, wow. Larry's going to join me.
Larry. Yes.
Hi, Larry.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So, hi, James. I think Michelle, you've been here before, haven't you?
Years and years and years ago.
Does anyone
it's
remember?
It's been ages.
Meeting Michelle before. So Michelle works at Pregnancy Problem House, and she's going to talk to us about how we can support and interact with non-Christians who might be considering an abortion. How can we stand for our principles and do what's right, but also be a help to those folks in that situation. Are you ready to go?
I hope so.
Okay,
I've got my phone so that I have my stopwatch because Larry said I had 20 minutes. And that's not a complaint at all. It's just, It's tough because what I'm going to try to tell you in the next 20 minutes is what it's taken me about 20 years to learn. So good morning. Good morning, church. I'm going to hit my stopwatch there so that I can, and my husband's going to wink at me when I get close to my 20-minute limit. But I can't begin to unpack the sacredness of this space with you this morning, but perhaps if I can just plant a few little seeds and maybe trigger a bit of a conversation, trigger some thoughts, and then we'll continue this. Because Pregnancy Problem House has been around for a while. In fact, tomorrow is our 35th birthday. I don't have any indications that we're going away anytime soon. In fact, we've been through a phenomenal season of growth in the last 10 years, where we've gone from 1 to 5 centres, and we've just seen some incredible doors open for us. But also every day is a faith journey. It is a step of obedience for us. So just so I know, because it has been a long time, so I know who I'm talking to, is anyone in the room currently like on our mailing list or has volunteered besides Deb? And if you haven't figured it out yet, I don't know if Larry's told you anything. Deb's actually not even my cousin. Deb's my double cousin. So Deb's mum is my mum's sister, and Deb's dad is my dad's brother. Figured that one out. It is legal. So without wasting a lot of my time on that BS, two families went to church together, two brothers married two sisters, and they had 5 and we had 4, and so Deb's and I actually share grandparents on both sides of the family. So we're actually extra cousins. We're double cousins. So Deb volunteered with us for a season right before you had Evelyn, yes. And there's been more since. The family's grown. Hi, Evelyn. All right. I need to be focused with you. My clock is ticking. Confession time as well. I've just had annual leave. I haven't been in the office since Christmas Eve. So I'm going to shake the cobwebs out with you guys this morning and allow God to really bring our vision out, hopefully in a really articulate way. We're an organisation that exists in a space that we acknowledge is difficult. And first of all, if there's anyone here who has had a difficult experience with pregnancy, I just want you to know you're safe with me. That we actually invite you to connect with us and come and see that there are people who understand. The people who understand. And this is something that we have to be very careful about as well, because it's such a political space. There's a lot of arguing. There's a lot of to and fro. There's a lot of very, very strong opinions. And part of those strong opinions come from a place of hurt. So we have to step into that space very graciously, very humbly. By God's grace, there go all of us. And so I really encourage you to hopefully take away something from this morning that will just spark some ideas for you and some thoughts for you. So Pregnancy Problem House is really just a legal structure, a registered charity that's actually a family of believers who heard God's call in our hearts that there are struggling families in our community, and a lot of families who honestly would not knock on the church's door for help, or who are sitting in the church but afraid to ask for help. And so we have this incredible privilege to be out there in the community meeting people from every walk of life. We have a rule that we say we never say we've seen everything, because it sounds like a bit of a dare. We're a bit worried if we say that what might come through the door. But the one thing that our clients have in common is a pregnancy crisis, and every other factor can be completely different in their life. They can be from every worldview. They can be from every relationship status. They can be from every economic background. They can be from every life experience. So what they have in common is they come to us because I think we tend to think when we're little girls and we think about having babies that it's all going to be beautiful. It's all going to be fun, and it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to be something lovely. And when it happens suddenly, when it happens maybe with the wrong person or without the right support systems in place, or at a time in our lives where we weren't really thinking we had space for this right now, it actually can feel quite catastrophic. And so I think it's really, really important that the church, I get criticism from Christians all the time about why our name is Pregnancy Problem House, as if somehow we are suggesting that pregnancy can be a problem. No, we need to acknowledge that it can be a problem. It is it's a name of acknowledgement. It's a name of actually meeting women where they're at. And our clients get it. Our clients find us because of the name, because the name right away says, we're not going to judge you. We actually get that you might be really struggling right now and you don't know where to turn, and we are a free, safe service for you to come to. So if it's in your backyard, which it is, I should have warned you. Here's your warning. The last, I don't know how many times, it just happened in Geraldton right before Christmas, but often when I speak in a church, within 48 to 72 hours, someone in the congregation calls me. Because their niece or their neighbour or their cousin at the last church I spoke to, it was the daughter of one of the families in the church, was unexpectedly pregnant and immediately asking about abortion. And we sorted things out and got her into our centre within 24 hours. And that baby's still with us. So I warn you, maybe I'm here for a reason today, because maybe there's someone here that needs to reach out to someone this week. So first thing, don't feel like you're on your own. Please, now that you've met us, you've met me, and on behalf of my team, please call us, because we are honoured to help you. And this is our area of expertise. We have 35 years of experience in this space, and we're still learning. So, but if it's you and your next door neighbour comes knocking tomorrow, or your niece or your daughter or an old long lost friend you haven't heard from in a while looks you up and says, hey, I've always known you to be a kind and compassionate person, and I'm in trouble. Can you help? I want to teach you just a little thing that our team learns and that we explore, and it's called the love approach. So L stands for listen. Now, as I've said, this is a very political space. It's also a very emotional space. And when we have strong views about the value of life, and we have strong views about the American election and all sorts of things that are going on at the moment, it's very, very easy to get swept up in our own feelings, and especially a bit of panic, a bit of, oh no, this is terrible, and I don't want her to hurt herself, and I don't want her to hurt her baby, and what do I do? You need to have that moment of calm. You need to realise that put on the kettle and make a cuppa, and it's for you as much as it is for her. Calm yourself. Bring yourself into a space where you can really meet her and be open to hearing her story. Because women are incredibly smart, incredibly resilient. They know their hearts. But when we're in a panicked state of mind, we can sometimes make hasty decisions we can later come to regret. And so you are doing her an incredible service just by listening, just by asking good questions and just being soft and gentle and boiling that kettle as many times as you need to, going through as many boxes of tissues as you need to really just hear her out. And what you're going to hear is multiple variations, but really they come under a few main themes. What we hear is women who are really, really worried about what everybody's going to say. Really worried. about how this appears to their circle of influences, how this appears to their friends, their family. Sometimes they've already told a few friends and family, and those people have not responded very well. And so they're frightened, and they feel like they're being abandoned. They're really, really worried, particularly if they're facing a situation potentially of single parenthood, or they're facing a situation potentially where they might already have children with somebody and now this is with somebody else, and they're wondering how that's all going to play out. They're really, really worried. And so there's an internal battle, because a lot of women in their hearts, they have values that their children are precious, but they're also very, very worried. And so there's this wrestle going on. Is it more important that I have peace in my heart about my life and my decisions and what I know, or is it more important that everyone else has the sense that I've got it all together? So that's the first big question a woman is asking, is what I know to be true and right, is that going to carry me through if everyone else around me thinks I'm an idiot? How does that affect me? She's also asking then, what does it affect me in terms of my dreams for myself? I have in my mind an image of my future self, and I have things I want to achieve, and this was not in the plan for 2021. I had other things I was going to be doing this year, and so can I see through all this that my future self is going to be preserved through this situation? Is my future self going to be enhanced by having a baby right now? And there's a real wrestle. There's a natural human desire to just protect self. And women need to see that their future self is not going to be damaged by having a baby, that actually their future self might be enhanced by having a baby. But when you first find out and you're in shock, that's very, very hard to sort out. Then the third question they're asking is actually a really valid question. And they're asking, can I give my baby a good life? They're really wrestling with, have I got it? Have I got what it takes to be a good mum? How is this going to work with my current family dynamics, with my relationships, with my finances? Do I even have the skills to be a good parent? We believe everybody's got it in them, but we all need a community around us to bring it out. And some of the women we meet are utterly alone. Utterly alone. And we're already alone, and then the circumstances of their pregnancy result in them being even further alone. So listen to her story. Ask her to tell you the whole story and let her decide where the story began. And just listen, because as she pours out to you, she's going to hear herself wrestling with all of these different things. And she may even come to some pretty wise conclusions all on her own without you having to do very much at all besides just offer her a place of calm and acceptance and tissues and tea, and just let her draw it out. But if you have a woman in front of you who knows that abortion is an option for you, which every woman knows. I haven't met a client in 15 years at Pregnancy Problem House who didn't know that she had the option to have an abortion. So if you find that she's got abortion on the table, then the L is listening. The O is, let's keep our options open. Let's keep our options open. Let's not be in a hurry. There's this sort of idea that if you have a quick abortion, then you just forget about it quicker. And it's not true. But some women in their haste just haven't thought things through and are still in that panic stage, and then do something that's later going to come back and really hurt them. So O is open option. So it's not let's talk you out of having an abortion. Let's just talk honestly about it, because abortion is wrapped up in a lot of euphemisms and a lot of whispering. And when you talk openly and honestly about it, most women know that it's a tragic and painful experience, and it's something that they would prefer to avoid. So if you can help them to look at it honestly, and you've earned that right to then, you haven't just shoved it off in the corner and say, nah, that's not an option for us, so we're just gonna put it over there. Help her to unpack it. Because if she is the one who decides, actually, that's not a good option for me, then she holds her ground. If you decide that for her, then the minute that she's not in your care, then there's no foundation. She hasn't thought it through. So does that make sense? Just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to talk about abortion. Talking about abortion honestly talks women out of having them, because they have that opportunity to really look it in the eye. But once they've had a look in the eye at abortion and they've started to wrestle with that and said, well, maybe that isn't what I thought it was going to be for me, you've earned the right to say, well, hey, what are our other options? What else is on the table? So she may be more likely then, because you've not pushed anything off the table, to have a look at what else might be on the table. So open options is about considering the spectrum of parenting. And parenting is a spectrum. It is not a one-time choice. It is not a single choice. Ask any parent in the room. I've been a parent now for over 25 years, and every day I still make parenting decisions. Every day I alter my course. As parents, we can be very, very hands-on, involved parents, or we might be parents that rely more on other resources to help us raise our children and everything in between. So parenting is not a, okay, I've decided I'm going to keep my baby, so boom, I've got to figure it out now how I'm going to do everything. No, no, no. Release women. Release women to be flexible parents who figure it out as they go along, because when you find out you're pregnant, you're really just preparing for a newborn. You've got 13 years notice to prepare for a teenager. So we just got to prepare for a newborn. And then you get to know your child and you get to know what they need and you grow alongside them and you go on the parenting journey. So parenting is a journey. It's a spectrum. It's got lots and lots of options and choices and alternatives attached to it. There's not one way to do it. And so if a woman in her mind is thinking, okay, I'm having an abortion or I'm having a baby, it's actually I'm ending my pregnancy, or I'm allowing my pregnancy to continue and I'm continuing on this relationship with my child that's already started, that's going to continue and that's going to go in any which way I decide. It's releasing for women. It's really freeing for women to not feel like it's a black or white boom, boom decision and okay, everything's made up now. So keep our options open. Help her to see then. V is vision and value. It's about, remember that, protecting that future self. It's helping her feel that, yes, she can still achieve her dreams. They might come in a little bit of a different order than she thought, but hey, welcome to life. It's not cancer. It's not a hand grenade that's been handed to you. Like, it's a child. But life can hand you cancer. It can hand you a pandemic, it can hand you a car accident. Like, things happen in life all the time that require us to make big changes to what we thought our plans were going to be. But this is a baby. This is an addition to your family. This is someone who's going to add to your life. Yes, they bring challenges. Yes, they're hard work. But they also bring incredible amount of rewards. So allow her to process the shock of the change and the disappointment of the change. People very, very close to me, I've had this conversation with when they've had an unexpected pregnancy and are just in tears. And these are rock solid Christian people, and they're like, why am I upset? Why am I crying? I feel guilty that I'm crying, but I thought I was done having kids. You're not crying because of the baby. You're crying because of the surprise, and you're crying because of the challenges, and you're crying because you thought you had it all organized, because the world teaches you that responsible adult living is having your plan all laid out and then following the plan, and now you're having to deviate from the plan. So it's okay to feel all that. None of that affects your love for your baby. If you give women permission to feel the upheaval and yet still help her believe in herself through the upheaval. Help her to see that she's resilient and that she's clever and that people are going to support her. So listen to her. Keep options open, but remember that parenting's a journey. It's not just a one-stop choice. It's a journey. And there are many, many different spectrums of it. And I won't go into a discussion about adoption and foster care this morning, but understand that those are parenting decisions. I'll leave it with that, and we can discuss that one later. So L is listen, O is keeping options open, V is vision and value. It's just saying to her that you deserve peace, you deserve to know kindness and joy and love, you deserve to feel proud of your life decisions and not feel like you've got a skeleton in the closet that you've got to hide. And I've got a vision with you. I want to hear about your future dreams, and I want to help you kind of figure out how baby can fit into those future dreams, because honestly, they can. They absolutely can. If I had time to tell you a dozen stories of girls we've seen who just thought in that moment when they found out they were pregnant that their life was over, and then 5 years on, 10 years on, can see that actually it was just a crossroads moment where their life changed direction slightly, but 10 years later they actually really liked the direction their life went in. And a lot of the things that they really wanted for themselves, they were able to achieve, and other things they didn't even know that they wanted have happened as a result of that moment. So E then is extend and empower. And that's finally when you get to say, I want to help you. I want to help you have your baby. I want to help you find the supports you need. I'm going to do whatever you need. And the closer you are to her, the more likely she's going to trust you. But also the harder it is for you to say something clearly without your own feelings about the situation making everything a bit foggy. And that's one of the really valuable services we can provide at PPH, is that we're that third party. So we love her and we love your family and we want to hear the whole story, but we don't live with you. So we can possibly see things and hear things and bring some ideas into the discussion because we're that arm's length away. So E is extend and empower. Empower her to figure out what she's got within herself to thrive through this situation, but offer to help. And that's what we do at PPH as well. So if she doesn't have a strong family support system around her, then we're there. If she's not eligible for Centrelink or not eligible for Aussie government programs, we're there. If she's just feeling really nervous, we're there. And we provide professional counselling and mentoring and access to practical resources and referrals to other programs. And we just really want to put layers of support under her so she really feels like, I can do this. I can give my baby a good life. I can preserve my future dreams. So I'm at 20 minutes. That's why I started the clock. So thank you so much for just allowing me to open my heart a little bit in front of you today. As I said, I think Larry's hoping as well that this is actually the beginning of an ongoing conversation, and we're chatting about doing some other things a little bit later this year. But if you want to connect with us right now, like if God is just kind of putting that little nudge on your heart, come and have a chat. I'm back in the office for the first time tomorrow since before Christmas. I've just had a lovely long break painting and spending time with family and just getting things done in our household with our four kids. And I'm really looking forward to popping back into the office tomorrow and just finding out what's happened in the last few weeks. There is a lot going on right now. We're looking for people who've got that humble heart and who want to be part of this, who want to be seed sowers in a rocky field where we get to show compassion to people in a really, really practical way at a really crossroads moment in their life. So it's such a privilege what we get to do. And we do provide heaps of training. We have a fantastic team. But we are looking for people who've got that draw from God to be a part of the solution. So thank you for your time this morning, and I look forward to the rest of the service. And I don't know who I'm handing over to. Back to you, Ash. Thank you so much, guys. God bless you.